The church in the past has felt, and still feels, that nothing is more ancient and more pleasing than the desire for the unity of all Christians, and we want to express this in the very same words that the Council of Trent used to conclude its decree on the Most Holy Eucharist. In conclusion, the Council with paternal love admonishes, exhorts, begs and implores through the merciful kindness of our God 73. That each and every Christian may come at last to full agreement in this sign of unity, in this bond of charity, in this symbol of harmony, that they may be mindful of the great dignity and the profound love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave up his precious life as the price of our salvation, and who gave us his flesh to eat 74, and that they may believe and adore these sacred mysteries of his body and blood with such firm and unwavering faith, with such devotion and piety and veneration, that they'll be able to receive that supersubstantial 75, bread often, and it will truly be the life of their souls and the unfailing strength of their minds, so that fortified by its vigor, 76, they may be able to move on from this wretched earthly pilgrimage to their heavenly home where, without any veil, they will eat the bread of angel 77, that they now eat beneath the sacred veils, 78, 73. May the all-merciful Redeemer, who shortly before his death prayed to the Father that all who were to believe in him might be one, just as he and the Father are one, 79, deign to hear this most ardent prayer of ours, and of the whole Church as quickly as possible, so that we may all celebrate the Eucharistic mystery with one voice and one faith, and through sharing in the body of Christ become one body. 80. Joined together by the same bonds that Christ wanted it to have. A word to the Eastern Churches. 74. We also want to address with fraternal affection those who belong to the venerable churches of the East, which have had so many glorious fathers whose testimony to belief in the Eucharist we have been so glad to cite in this present letter of ours. Our soul is filled with great joy as we contemplate your belief in the Eucharist, which is ours as well, as we listen to the liturgical prayers you use to celebrate this great mystery, as we behold your Eucharistic devotion, as we read your theological works explaining or defending the doctrine of this most sacred sacrament. A final prayer. 75. May the most blessed Virgin Mary, from whom Christ the Lord took the flesh that is contained, offered, received, 81, in this sacrament under the appearances of bread and wine, and may all the saints of God, and especially those who were more inflamed with ardent devotion toward the divine Eucharist, intercede with the Father of Mercies, so that this common belief in the Eucharist and devotion to it may give rise among all Christians to a perfect unity of communion, that will continue to flourish. Lingering in our mind are the words of the holy martyr Ignatius warning the Philadelphians against the evil of divisions and schisms, the remedy for which is to be found in the Eucharist. Strive then, he says, to make use of one single thanksgiving. For there is only one flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ, and only one chalice unto the union of his blood, only one altar, only one bishop. 82. 76. Fortified by the most consoling hope of blessings that will accrue to the whole Church, and to the whole world from an increase in devotion to the Eucharist, as a pledge of heavenly blessings we lovingly impart our apostolic blessings to you, venerable brothers, and to the priests, religious and all who are helping you, as well as to all the faithful entrusted to your care. Given at St. Peter's, Rome, on the third day of September, the feast of Pope St. Pius X, in the year 1965, the third of our pontificate. PAUL 6.